Hi guys, welcome back for episode 18. So last week we explored why underperforming B2B websites are silent growth killers. We broke down how to optimize your site's messaging, UX, and CTAs to turn it into a 24/7 sales engine. This week builds on that by helping you understand whether your efforts are actually working by looking at the right metrics.
Yeah, metrics now, that is definitely a problem with a lot of agencies and the way that, you know, metrics are delivered to customers and what the ROI and all this kind of stuff is made out to actually be. And generally, and this is what differentiates us from like a marketing agency, because we look at more meaningful metrics that actually matter, if you like. So what are vanity metrics? Well, if you think like impressions, likes, follower counts, bounce rates, basically delivered on their own. Now, all those metrics are worthwhile honing in on, but they need to be brought together and used and looked at from a higher level in order to, you know, make changes and things like that and see where things need to be improved. So yeah. To give you an example, you know, if you're running a Facebook ad and the impressions are low, then there's a good chance that it's not been delivered. So that means that you maybe need to go and change something to improve it. If you've got a campaign to increase follower counts and things, and you're running a campaign, you're spending money, but your follower counts aren't increasing. And the same is true for like bounce rates on your website. You know, if your bounce rate's high, then you know that something needs to change to bring your bounce rate down. But these really don't feed the beast, if you like. These are like things that happen at the lower level.
Just things that look good on a report.
They might look good on a report, but they're actually meaningless in a lot of cases. They're only meaningful to the people that are actually making the changes to the website and the, you know, the ads and things like that to actually help them get better. What they don't go over is they don't really provide the how things are progressing. You know, what ROI did that campaign
It doesn't show the real progress.
That's correct, yeah.
And a lot of B2B marketers often just default to them because they're easy to track and universally understood. You know, a lot of clients that don't understand the higher level metrics can understand that this is how many people have viewed my content how many people have liked it. And it is visually appealing because you can, you know, you can say, oh yeah, this amount of people looked at your content, whoa, but in reality, you know, maybe, you know, you've had 10,000 people look at it, but only one person has actually contacted you, then that's your ads. There's problems with your ad.
That's right. The bottom line is, doesn't matter how many people have looked at your ad, right? Mm-hmm. If one person's looked to your ad and is driving revenue, because it's revenue that we're really tracking here, then that's good. If 10,000 people have looked at and it's no driving revenue because only one person is actually converted, then there is a problem. But the main metric that everybody's looking at, or the main metric that they should be looking at, is the non-vanity, which is how much money is it making me? How much value is it driving to the business?
Yeah. So let's talk about a few metrics that actually matter. So you've got pipeline impact metrics like marketing qualified leads, sales qualified leads, sales qualified opportunities, and pipeline velocity. You've got revenue metrics like CAC, which is customer acquisition cost. You've got LTV, which is customer lifetime value. And then you've got revenue per lead. And then you've also got engagement metrics that matter. So email reply rates, demo bookings, time on the page, and CTA click-throughs. And then a few customer metrics, which includes churn rate, NPS, which is your net promoter score, and upsell cross-sell rates.
That's right. And the shift here is going from performance-based activity to performance outcome. So what's the actual outcome that's being driven here? That's essentially what it is. And when we are setting up like our growth engines for our clients, because that's really what they are, we look at the metrics that matter. The things that actually move the needle, the things that you can see, what's working and what isn't. The lower level stuff is fine and dandy, and that's just important for the people that are doing the ads and things. But your CEOs and your executive suite should be really looking at the metrics that matter. And certainly, if you're doing a report for the CEO, really, he's not interested in how many people even visited the site, really. What was
He's
the
interested in how much money you're making in the
correct?
end.
What's the revenue? Now, with that brings us to like making sure that you're aligning marketing and sales goals, which is super important to remove those silos if they still exist in your organization. And this generally does, they do still exist in most organizations, and a lot of businesses that we work with now are actually going down that route, where they're starting to learn that it should be more a revenue team, which includes a market, sales, and customer success, rather than having siloed departments doing their own thing where goals and things aren't shared. So marketing, sales, and customer success really should have shared marketing and sales definitions. What qualifies as a market qualified lead, what qualifies as a sales qualified lead, etc., etc. They should be setting up shared goals. They should be using lead scoring, setting up service level agreements, and having weekly meetings just to, if they're required. I mean, they might not be required, but it's always good for them to have that. Those feedback loops, the regular feedback loops, to make sure that sales is happy with what's coming from marketing. And not just that, it's so that sales can pass back to marketing what the pain points are, what are customers actually saying, because that's what will define what needs to be said in terms of messaging for to attract those ICPs, and for targeting and refining the messaging. And of course, these metrics should tell the full funnel story, from awareness to closed won deals, not just their own and their own little kind of department sort of thing, you know.
And we've actually done a podcast episode talking about aligning your marketing and sales and why that's so important. So if you haven't watched that, definitely go and watch that. That's a good one. I definitely think with the, marketing and sales, 100% needs every single quarter, either the end or the start of the quarter to talk about, probably the end to talk about the upcoming quarter and the quarter you've just had. If you do need the weekly meetings, then definitely go for it. But definitely make sure that both your marketing and sales is aligned and they're on the same, wavelength, they have the same goals. Now, building a B2B metrics framework. So there's three tiers. You have top of funnel, which is your website traffic sources, content engagement, lead magnet downloads. You have middle of funnel, which is your MQL, so marketing qualified leads, and your SQLs, sales qualified leads, conversion rate, email open and reply rates, time to book, and then you have the bottom of funnel, which is your win rate, your deal size, and your sales cycle length. So visualizing the funnel will help for better stakeholder communication, and it'll help track trends over time versus obsessing over the daily little spikes.
100%. And this tofu, mofu, and bofu is should actually align with the customer journey as well. Where it's awareness, and that essentially brings the customer through their own journey. So when when you're getting to the middle of the funnel sort of thing, the customer will already know. From a customer's perspective, I mean, should already know that, these guys can, I've got a problem, this is my problem, they've got the solution. And now it's going through that kind of those stages. Is I think it's good to try and visualize the customer journey with that metrics framework as well, just so that you it should help you understand what kind of metrics will be at that particular level.
Yeah. And there's lots of different tools that you can use to track what matters. So you've got different CRM platforms like HubSpot, Salesforce, Pipedrive, how to make them work with your marketing.
And here's
You've
the
got I
thing, Chloe, some of the problems you've got with CRMs is, especially when the sales and marketing aren't aligned, is you'll find that, marketing might be using HubSpot and sales might be using Pipedrive, and they're using different data sets, and oh my God, it's crazy. So usually when we're going to a customer, we need to merge that stuff. And even when you get to the two databases, there's duplicate data, there's data that's old and data that's not been updated, that's not been cleansed and things. So
Yeah.
there's a lot of things need to happen to make sure they are being used
Yeah.
properly. And if they are being used properly, things are cleansed and they're being managed, that'll actually help towards providing a better perspective on the metrics that matter.
Yeah. You also have analytics tools, so like Google Analytics 4, Hotjar, and UTM tracking, and different dashboards like Databox or Looker Studio to build some real-time actionable dashboards. But you, there's no point in you tracking this data if you're not going to turn it into decisions.
100%. Go back to the analytics tools there as well. We've actually, for anyone that's listening that's interested, we've actually built a little UTM URL builder on our website. You just need to go to our website, go to Learning Center and then tools, free
Yep, I'll
tools.
link it down below.
You can build your UTM tracking codes for there, which are hugely important when you're doing different campaigns and things. In actual fact, going back to even the metrics, we also have a CAC calculator, cost of acquisition cost. We have an inbound marketing ROI calculator, and other free tools there you can use.
Yep, I'll link them all down below. And we also have some real-world examples. So a SaaS company that shifted from tracking webinar registrations to pipeline influenced by webinars, and they grew their ROI by three. A consulting firm that eliminated, sorry, that was three times. A consulting firm that eliminated all vanity KPIs from reporting and focused on cost per qualified conversion. And a B2B agency that tracked revenue per blog post instead of traffic, which completely changed their content strategy.
And that goes back to what I was saying previously, or was it on the last podcast where I was saying that, when you've got your content strategy, you don't just create content for the sake of creating content. You create content because it's going to be driving revenue in the long term. So when you're doing adding tools and content and things to your website, it's an investment, not probably for now, but for the future.
Yeah, and now though we have a few actionable takeaways for you guys to take away today. I want you to audit your current reports, what's just vanity, and what truly connects to pipeline or more revenue. Pick three core metrics to track weekly that reflect your bottom line impact. Build alignment with your sales team. Agree on the lead stages and goals that actually matter. And less data and more clarity. Make some room for decisions, not just dashboards. Next week for episode 19, we're going to be bringing order to the chaos. We're going to be breaking down the RACE framework, reach, act, convert, engage, and show you how to structure your marketing around the entire customer journey. If your strategy feels scattered, this episode will definitely give you a system that you've been missing. All right, awesome. Well, we'll see you for the next one. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.